Now, here we are. Then it's a Wednesday. It's going to have to be Plan B, because Plan A was we had invited Ian McKee in. We hadn't heard from him. We invited him in through email. We haven't heard from him. We assume that he's either wasn't coming in or he was just going to turn up. And obviously, he hasn't. Here we are. It's 12:05. So I'm not having a go at him. I'm not. I'm just saying maybe you should check his emails. But we've got to now turn to Plan B. Now, yes, we've got a couple of things up our sleeves.
We have.
And just an idea that occurred to me. Now, you know, I look at you and I think you, when it comes down to it, you're more intelligent than I am. I'm one of those people that is very basic and very easy to understand. I think you're probably a little bit more complex than I am, and I think that you're a little bit more intelligent than I am. You use big words, at least, anyway. And you read a lot more, and you talk about philosophy and all that kind of stuff, and I'd have to look that up to see what that was.
Okay.
You just mentioned a book. It's a great idea for a book.
Go on.
What was the book you mentioned? Before
1984.
George Orwell.
Yes.
Now, I started watching a film, because I did a film about it as well.
That's right, yeah.
I got lost after 5 minutes.
Okay.
What about if they had a book, okay, the George Orwell book,
yeah,
but you had someone explaining it to you all the way along? You know, like in audio form.
Yeah.
So you got someone reading the book, and the difficult bits, you got someone to explain.
Do you know what, though? I think the book is a lot simpler than the film. Seriously, George Orwell doesn't write in big... I mean, first of all, I don't think that you're more or less intelligent than me or vice versa. I think there's a big difference between intelligence and reading, you know?
Right.
And as you say, I read a lot, so I read an awful lot, and so I'll probably use long words, but I don't think that makes me more intelligent, Ian.
Well, it comes across that way, and as I say, it's not an insult at
all.
No,
I just think that there's so, you know, like there's so many different ways to measure intelligence. For example, you know, like sometimes you might say that someone is incredible intellect, you know, they could sit down, but socially they've got no intelligence at all, or emotionally they have no intelligence at all.
I mean, how they say about people, and I see what you're saying there. If you speak to numerous people that are in universities and they're of a certain age, they've got all this super intelligence but no common sense whatsoever.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm probably looking at, I'm probably got more common sense than I have intelligence.
I think your social emotional intelligence is really high.
Is it
really high? Yeah,
is
definitely.
Can I get a sticker for the car?
You can have a sticker. You can have a medal. You can have a certificate. But you see, I think that we was used to measure intelligence and IQ, and that's such a narrow way to do it. I mean, what about someone who can't read but is the most brilliant carpenter?
Yeah,
you know, who's really talented? Is their talent or skill any less worthy because it's not book based?
No, absolutely.
I don't think so.
No, absolutely not.
You know,
we've just to digress just slightly. There's a young lad that has been coming into Vectis Radio for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah,
I think he's 21, 22 very soon. His name's Matt Davis.
Right,
and he has, and I didn't know this, so we rather cute and cleverly tried to find out what the problems were.
Yeah,
because you find yourself not wanting to just ask. Hey, what's your problem, then, mate? You know, so you have to find a way.
Yeah.
So, but knowing full well, I've spoken to his mum about what he can actually do within the radio station by way of the 4 P's.
Yeah.
And having spoke to him, I'm thinking, well, you couldn't read the news, you couldn't sit on air and talk on the radio. And I've been racking my brain for the last couple of weeks, thinking, what the hell can we get this guy to do?
Yeah.
And, you know, more importantly, having not know what the issues are and what the problems are and how to address what the, you know, ask the question, I came up with this idea of, well, hang on a minute, radio. Radio is communicating. It's communication.
Mm.
It can be anything under that communicating big old hat that you've got. And so I said, how about you write a blog? You write a blog and tell us all about yourself.
Yeah.
Tell us all about yourself and your day-to-day problems.
Yeah.
He came in for the second week yesterday, and he's done it. I don't know whether we've uploaded it. Hopefully, we've uploaded it to the website. And he's blogged again this week, and it's all details about him, how he's overcome, you know, certain things, and the issues that he has on a day to day basis, and what he does, and what he likes, and so on and so forth. So we're now getting to know this chap,
yeah,
who has cerebral palsy,
yeah,
and I think there's autism thrown in as well for just good measure.
Yep.
And you just think, how wonderful is this? This is a wonderful thing. And everybody, we mentioned level playing field earlier on. Everybody's on a level playing field, or they should be.
I believe everybody's got a talent.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that our education system is not doing for our children is winkling out the talent in each individual kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a one size fits all. You've got to have your SATs, you've got to have your CATs, you've got to get your GCSEs, you've got. And actually, what's being lost is a lot of talented children who are falling beneath the radar.
Yeah,
I really believe that.
This lad is incredible.
Yeah.
His spelling is better than mine.
Yeah.
You know, his stories are better than mine. And I'm just thinking, how wonderful is that? This kid's got something to say, and we're hearing it now through a blog.
So it's fantastic.
So to go back to the original, I think that's a great idea. The George Orwell book or anything complicated, we get somebody to explain it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just sort of because I sometimes miss the point. I think, right, okay, that's gone right over my head. I ain't got a clue and I'm lost. I started to watch the film and I saw all these people just sat down in an audience there, and if I remember rightly, they all looked the same, they all wore the same, and I thought, I'm not really interested. I've lost the plot on this. I don't really know. But if somebody sat down and explained, yeah, then I would go for it. Surely there's a book there somewhere.
But do you think that the trouble is, I think, with literature and in quoted comments, is that it's scary stuff. And I do know a friend of mine, she's a great reader and she's a great intellectual reader, and she's, oh, you must read this, it's absolutely fantastic. And I start it and, oh God, it's the most boring thing I've ever read in my life, and it's really wordy and boring and nothing happens and stuff like that. But books like Animal Farm and 1984, I think anyone could read it, and I genuinely, seriously do think that. Honestly, okay, give Animal Farm a go and then you'll see everything you need to know about politics.
Okay.
Done in animal form.
But just coming back in full swing, because we were talking about this off air, you know, the politics stuff, and I don't think we're supposed to understand, you know, what is actually going on. We're just meant to understand enough to put across somewhere.
Yeah, I think they want us educated just enough to do the work that's needed to keep the economy going. But they don't, because if they seriously wanted an educated population who is aware of politics and economics, then it would be a subject at school alongside citizens. What is citizenship anyway, if it's not what's going on in our government and stuff?
See, this is us with no script, no ideas. We're just having a chat.
Rapping.
But do you know what? I think that's a really, really interesting point that we don't teach politics in schools.
No.
So youngsters have not zero knowledge, because I would imagine let's be honest, that most of youngsters of a certain age will be influenced by their parents.
Yes.
And how many times will you hear, you know, a son or a daughter say, oh, I'm voting Labour because of this, and you can hear their mum saying it, you can hear their dad saying it, and you think, no, come on, you've got a brain of your own.
Yeah.
You can make up your own mind. And the reason why they're in that mindset of, oh, parents vote this way, so I'm going to vote that way, is because it isn't being taught in schools. It's being taught by the parents, if you like, or it's being
tabloids
in a
Facebook.
Yeah, but do you honestly believe that kids read newspapers?
Sometimes, yeah, actually.
Because I don't read it. Because nowadays, who reads a newspaper nowadays?
Yeah, but they're online, aren't they? So, you know, you go to Facebook and there's an article, and it's, you know, then you go to follow the link and it's the Mirror or it's the Mail or the Express. So I think they do, but they cherry pick it. You know?
But throwing this out there, I think, don't get me wrong, I think the internet is marvellous. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I think Facebook is fantastic. I think Twitter is fantastic. Mm. But do you think that in a minute, well, probably now, as we speak now, it's all, there must be millions, billions, billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of posts that don't get read because there's too many.
Yes.
Too many. Now, Brandon, who's coming on at 1 o'clock today, interesting character. He's 18 years old. Okay, he's been around us for a couple of months, and he is now going to vote. I reckon 6 months ago, he probably wouldn't have even given it a thought.
Yeah.
Because he's rubbing shoulders with us. He found this fantastic website the other day. And it is, and it's an amazing website. And it's like, it's got the clockometer of everything that's going on that's important at the moment.
Okay.
Births, deaths. And you watch him, the ticker, it goes. It goes up, it goes up, it goes up.
Ooh.
And you watch the deaths being registered, and the births being registered. I think the deaths slightly slower than the birth. Facebook and Twitter, you watch the posts, they go absolutely berserk.
Really?
And honestly, and you watch this ticking, and it's going, it's going just crazy, absolutely crazy. The deaths are ticking through reasonably, the births are a little bit faster and so on. And you just watch this and you think, how many posts? That's like trillions, billions.
Yeah.
How many of them just get missed? And don't, are we becoming, like somebody, James Vox was in last week and we were talking about Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, and he's a fascinating character, is James.
Oh,
and
he
broke this down. And I don't think I can remember the actual word for word, but it was somewhere in the region of people are shouting into a big empty hole.
Yeah.
Or so you don't actually see it. So you can say, oh, you know, I'm going to put this out there, and you shout. And all of a sudden, somebody else comes along and puts something on top of that and they don't see it. It gets buried.
It
and
does.
And you're just
very
shouting
quickly
into a big empty space.
And occasionally, isn't it, something goes viral. It, you know, it's picked up and suddenly people grab hold of it and it becomes huge.
And nine times out of ten, it's always something horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always
horrible. Never anything positive.
No.
Never anything positive.
Well, do you think we should have a be kind to each other party? Treat others as you'd like to be treated party.
But a hippie party.
A hippie party. Yeah, peace and love. I like that idea.
So you mentioned earlier on that you'd rather live in a world of, what is it, that saying that it was a TV programme? Darling Buds of Mine.
Yeah.
Then you would, see, I would too.
I would, yes.
I would too. You know, picnics and lemonade.
And wholesomeness. Yeah, and mum and dad sitting in a bath eating a fry-up. I'll never forget that scene, you know.
Do you know what? That to me was a fabulous series.
I loved it. I mean, she was quite a big lady, the mum, wasn't she? But
she
the
was
dad
great.
Absolutely adored her as a daughter. You know, there was never a mention of I'm going on a diet. She'd be off. I'm off to sugar some almonds, you know.
Yeah, no, do you know what? I wish people could see that for what it is, and that is, you know, it's a vision for some people
of
how they would love to live. But, having said that, we choose to live this way. We choose to vote that way. We choose to be on Facebook.
Yeah, but you could say, right, you know, all this we choose to vote thing, at the end of the day, none of us who voted in the last election chose a Conservative government. It was a coalition, it was a hung parliament. And they, if you like, the politicians decided amongst themselves who they were going to gang up with.
Yeah.
So no, Ian, we didn't choose this. And it's a bit like saying, if we had up for two people up for what's it, election, you know, Pol Pot, Idi Amin and Hitler, you've got to vote for one of them, otherwise we're going to shoot you. And then they'll say, but you chose that person.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand up that you chose this
argument.
Well,
the only thing is different now, we don't shoot people. But
no.
Maybe we should.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, my husband and I had quite an interesting debate the other day, and he said, oh, well, at least Margaret Thatcher, you know, even if you didn't like her policies, she was a conviction politician. And I said, well, so was Hitler. You know, he completely meant what he meant. Should we respect him for that? And he went, good point.
All right. If you want to give us a call, you can. It's like just two people having a chat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like
I've got a question. We're talking about the internet. We're talking about Facebook.
Yeah.
We're talking about the way that it shapes a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
When you talk to people, you know, how many times have you heard, did you see my Facebook page? Did you see it? No, because I've been reading all, you know, the other things. And no, actually, I've got a life. I've got a job and a life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, I know the internet is a wonderful thing. And if we didn't have the internet, we wouldn't have Vexus Radio.
This is
true. So, you know, I'm not knocking it. I'm just thinking we've got this tool that is marvellous, but I think it gets misused.
Of course.
How much nowadays is... I look at necessity. you look at life and you think, right, okay, if you're living on the limit, if you're living on the line, how much of what you have is a necessity, and is having the internet now a necessity?
I think in educational terms it is. You know, for kids now at school and education, I also think for work purposes it is. I know my other half, I mean, he works from home a lot because of the internet.
Sure.
If he didn't work from home on the internet, he'd have to go on the mainland a lot more. So, yes, I think the internet isn't a luxury in many ways.
So do you think that when we do breakdowns of the average wage and the average lifestyle, that we ought to be, those people that are putting these things together ought to say, right, okay, because I think the world needs to come up to date, and we need to say, right, okay, years ago, you go back 30 years, and I want to ask the question in a minute, because we asked this off air as well, if I wonder what somebody would make of, if they were in a coma for 30 years and they come back, And it hits them. This is where we are. But how much of things are a necessity? And we should now, if we're breaking things down and putting figures and statistics out there so people can vote on, we should be a little bit more honest and say, right, okay, let's make a rule that having the internet is a necessity.
Mm.
Okay,
Is it?
In today's world, probably yes, because, you know, are you notified if you get a job by email? Do you apply online?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you probably do. So it is a necessity. So when we compile all these figures, we ought to now say, right, okay, we've got to allow X amount of pounds for the internet.
Mm.
Okay, because it's just like the electric and gas.
Or telephone.
Yeah. It's one of those utility bills,
yeah.
I'm guessing. But is it considered as a utility bill, or is it not a necessity?
I don't know, actually. I don't know if it I'm sure it is. I'm
it
sure
should
it
be.
Is now. Because the government had a policy, didn't they, of trying to get people on lower incomes, everybody a computer and online by a certain time. I seem to remember, because it was seen as
and
so vital.
It was in the news earlier today, strangely enough, that a particular company was broadcasting and paying for adverts to say that they were going to do this by X time, and they haven't done it, so they've been taken to task by Ofcom and told to remove their commercials. This is up country. This is a national thing. You know, quite right too. But you make a valid point there. If just say, for instance, if we've got people in high places now that are saying, right, we need to have the internet facility in rural areas.
Absolutely.
That suggests that is a necessity.
I think it is
a necessity. So when they work out the figures, and this is when, you know, I say, those people that are unemployed, they get X. And it's a very small X.
It is.
It's a very small X that hasn't changed. But the cost of living has gone up. And I say, just say, for instance, if now the internet is a necessity, and it's a necessity for someone to try and get back to work, then maybe that ought to be added into when people are unemployed for any length of time. They ought to get some kind of, I'm not saying rebate or anything like that, but the money hasn't gone up to meet that figure, because it's not seen as a necessity, but it ought to be.
Mm.
And I just think we as a nation never. I mean, that's the other day we were talking about Andrew Turner Monday.
Yeah,
he was asked what bill would he put through. Thinking about it now, I would probably say, well, hang on a minute, there's lots of different things that we could do, but wouldn't it be just simple to be a bit more honest when it comes down to compiling figures and a bit more explaining? Let's take people that are unemployed for a start, okay? Let's bump up their money a little bit, because they need to be on the internet, because it is a necessity, not just to eat and keep the roof over their head, but they do need these things.
Yeah.
Let's make that a rule now. Let's make that a rule. Let's push that through. That is on the list with gas, electric, food, water,
yeah,
telephone. I mean, you know, okay, there are the basics that you can have. Okay, you don't have to have an all singing, all dancing, I've got to have 50 meg down speed and so on. But there should be a basic package for those people that are struggling, maybe.
I mean, you know, some companies are offering it for like $5.99 a month now.
That's affordable.
You know, that is affordable. And I do think, I mean, I was surprised the other day, a friend of mine, she works for herself and she had to do her own self-assessment, her tax thing. And, you know, normally you'd think, well, it has to be in by Monday morning, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
This had to be in, put in online. It had to be done online. It couldn't be done by snail mail. And it had to be done by Sunday night, midnight. If it was a minute past midnight, she automatically got a £100 fine from HMRC.
Right, that's harsh.
That is harsh, isn't
that
it?
That is harsh.
And it's the same with things like my son's at university. If he has a thing that has to be in by, say, the Sunday, it has to be in by midnight Sunday. You can't actually go and hand it in at 9 o'clock in the morning on the Monday.
Mm.
You know, and it's just like, this is getting a bit silly now. You know, that I think is a bit iffy, because not everybody has internet all the time.
See, this is the thing. We are two people, just two ordinary people,
yep,
off the street,
yep,
that have come up with a couple of ideas that are fair,
yep,
and sensible.
Yeah.
But then, you know, our MP, our current MP, has come up with, and it's still gone over my head, and, you know, the quote was, what bill would you push through if you... What local bill would you push through if you were, you know, MP? Which one would you choose?
And he quoted a statistic about abortion. And it's like, well, what...
Male... There are more male
babies
aborted than females.
So what... And you think, so if I was sitting with a journalistic type head on, I'd be going, what angle is he coming from? Is he coming from a pro-life angle? Is he saying that there's some kind of hideous kind of, you know, population control going on, that more boys are being done than girls? You know, da-da-da. Where is he going with this? Because it didn't actually have anything to do with the local bill for the Isle of Wight.
Again, it's one of those things, and people might think that, you know, you're trying to score a political point. No, I'm not. I'm trying to understand it, because really, realistically, and I do mean this, and I do mean this, I don't have any favourites in the six. We've met them all, we've interviewed them all. Yes, I did. There's one person that I would think that could do a better job than the others. I'm not saying that the others would do a bad job. There is one for me that stands out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm failing to see the intelligence in you know, the abortion comment that, you know, I'm failing to see a link. Maybe that's gone over my head, but I just want the best person to be voted in. And, you know, let's be honest, if you were an employer, because that's what we are, we're an employer when it comes down to it, you want the best person, you want value for money. You know,
yeah,
we elect somebody, do the job, look after us best you can, try and speak for us and maybe listen to us now and again. I would imagine that it would have been, because I heard that there was deathly silence after,
yeah,
he had made this comment.
Yeah.
And either he's like out there on another planet, or he's more intelligent than we give him credit for,
no,
or he's on a self-destruct mission.
I honestly think he wasn't with it. That is my view, because he didn't answer the question. I mean, anybody else would have said something like, I want to eradicate child poverty on the island. I want to make sure that food banks don't need to be used on the island. I want to make sure that farmers are getting a fair price for their milk on the island, or not having to go bankrupt because of what's going on. You know, there's so many different issues on the island. I want to make sure that healthcare is good, because we've got a higher than average elderly population on the island. You know, there are so many local issues on the island. So to cite something like the abortion statistics, there's more male fetuses aborted than females, seems bonkers to me, frankly.
Crazy. And I don't think he's going to get too much support for this one, but just sort of when he said that, it made me laugh. But, you know, politician, not telling the truth, not answering the question. Are you sure? Should we take a call?
Cool, let's risk it.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, is that Vectis Radio?
It is Vectis Radio, and you're live on the Lunchtime Social Debate.
Ashley, this is Community Action. We're just making sure we have the right number down for you.
Okay. Your Community Action?
Yes.
Who are you?
Oh, well, you're in the other part of the building, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Oh, well.
Hello.
01983 240666 is our number.
Okay, which makes sure we have the right one down. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Bye now.
Bye now. they're just over there, look. How wonderful
could
is that?
Could have been worse. It could have been someone trying to flog us PPI recovery or something. Okay.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That as well. So I put this on the Facebook page this morning. At a hustings on Monday, the six parliamentary candidates for the Isle of Wight were asked, if they were MP, what local bill would they try and push through? To which Andrew Turner responded, with that there are more males aborted than females and it needs attention. He was then asked to clarify. He clarified and stood up and said more or less the same thing, word for word. Karen Gallant says, oh my word, which is kind of my reaction when I first heard. My mouth was wide open for a couple of minutes, and I must have looked like I'd received some horrific news. David Doyle says that's a joke, surely. Well, I thought, and I still can't get my head around it. The bloke's cracked. Keith says, didn't realise you had a population of hermaphrodites over there, Ian Mac. Brings a whole new meaning to go and yourself. And these people run our country. Stephen George says, obviously he wonders why he is on our planet, then does he? Because I do. Clive Jolliffe called him a twit. I've cleaned that one up. Karen says, sounds to me like he's completely lost the plot now. See, again, and this is where you may, and you should, because we should always have this feeling of, hang on a minute, has he?
There's an issue here, isn't there? Because I think we all know that Andrew had a stroke, and there's an issue of not wanting to kick a man when he's down.
Absolutely.
But the other issue is we also need someone who can represent the people who elected him. That's my only issue.
Yeah, no, that's it.
I don't want to kick someone when they're down, but if, for whatever reason, they can't deliver the job as we would like it to be, then I do think we need to be honest about that.
We do.
I mean, if I had a nurse or a doctor come in to say to me, I'm just about to operate on you, but my hand's really shaky, I hope you don't mind, I'd say, yes, I do. I mind a lot. Could I have someone without shaky hands? And I think the same thing has to kind of apply. This is serious, serious stuff.
I think you make a really good point about people's concern and what you don't want to be, you know, because I'm concerned now that this looks like we're bashing. We're not. And I say,
no, anyone else had said it, any other of the political candidates had said the same thing, we would be saying this. And I don't think we can shy away from it just because Andrew has been ill in his past.
Absolutely. And I think that this needs to, I mean, there were 56 people there the other day in the audience. And I'm thinking this today's Wednesday, this happened on Monday evening. Yeah. Why isn't this national?
Did you see what David Ballard's written?
I haven't yet. Go on, read it out.
David had said, he actually said that more men than women had abortions, which is even more confusing. Clearly he meant that more male than females fetuses were aborted, but I still don't understand why it's supposed to be a reasonable answer to the question about the most important local bill he would be trying to push through as a backbencher.
Yeah.
See, so, that's even more confusing now.
So David was obviously there,
yes,
the other day. So that's confirmed by, you know, another person that it was actually said. Okay, slightly different spin on it, but it's the same outcome.
Yeah,
it's the same question. It's the same. You know, and I just don't. I mean, I feel really bad about highlighting something because this is the sort of thing that could, and you know, end someone's role, someone's position. You know, it puts him. Well, he wouldn't be unemployed, but do you know what I mean? You're putting an end to someone's career, possibly. Mm. And you know, I feel really quite sad about that. But what intrigues me even more, and I don't want a pat on the back. Equally, I don't want somebody knocking on my door and saying you're a wicked man, Ian Mac, for bringing this up. I really don't want anything either way. Our job is to highlight the truth.
Yes.
Highlight who's the best person for the job. Yeah. Give them all equal opportunity to come in and talk about what they are going to do for the Isle of Wight. What are they going to do for us? And then the people can make up their own mind. Now, I'm not suggesting for one minute that because of this we should go out and say, right, we're not voting for Andrew Turner. Not at all. What I'm doing is I'm highlighting it. But what kind of frustrates me a little bit is that no one else is.
Yeah, and you're going to get people jumping on us saying you shouldn't be saying this and it's not fair, he has a speech impairment because of his stroke and blah, 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 blah. Fair dues, he has a speech. But I guess what the public need to know is the speech difficulty part of a cognitive process, i.e. his thought processes are confused? If so, can someone still be an MP with that? Or is it simply, if you like, something very minor, which is that he thinks one thing and says another and actually just needs a few more minutes to sort himself out, but is still perfectly capable of doing the job?
Okay.
Now, in some respects, I think what Andrew needs to do is face up to this and actually address this properly rather than say, I'm perfectly all right.
Do you know, again, it comes down to communication.
Yes.
It comes down to being open and honest. And it's almost like saying, right, OK, we now live in a world where it's a necessity to have internet. We now live in a world where our MP has suffered this. And these are the things. I mean, equally, we mentioned earlier on about this brilliant young man who has cerebral palsy, who's now communicating with people via the internet, via a blog and so on. And it's my way of saying anybody can do this job. Anybody can do this. And equally, as an MP, it shouldn't matter whether they're black, white, in a wheelchair, not in a wheelchair.
But they have to be fit to do the job.
That's where, you know, we say, well, hang on a minute. Are we saying that about MPs, but if you're on the radio, it's okay? So there's that fine line, isn't there? Well, yes, you have to be able to do the job.
As an MP, you're representing quite a lot of people in a very important position.
Sure.
Possibly the most important. So whatever your disability, that shouldn't bar you unless your disability is such you can't actually fulfil the duties of the job.
You mentioned speech, okay? And I'm with you on this. You mentioned speech, but I look at it and think, right, okay, he may not be the best talker anymore, but he may put a brilliant bill together. Obviously, this one wouldn't be that good. But he may write the most brilliant emails to certain people. And
exactly.
He's hopefully got his skills elsewhere. I agree. I think people should be in that position. They should be able to represent you. And if they can't represent you in the way that they need to be represented, but at the same time, I also say that it doesn't matter about their abilities. It doesn't matter about their age, their abilities, their colour, and so on and so forth.
It's just their competency to do the job.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, someone said in here they've got very cross with us, Ian. I don't know if you can see.
We're cross with us?
Yes. It says, David Holmes, I wonder how many people really understand strokes and the other effects. It's a shame so many people feel qualified or entitled to issue opinions about aphasia without any knowledge or expertise. Would you vote for Stephen Hawking, who has MND? David Blunkham was blind. Several excellent MPs have disabilities. As a friend, I know Andrew's intellect is not in question. It's very fair to criticise his politics, which is exactly what we were doing, by the way.
Yeah.
But some opponents are being vile about what is a fairly routine speech disability.
Okay.
I think that's a mix. He's mixed his issues there. You know, the issue that everybody has is if someone opens their mouth and nonsense comes out, is that a sign that perhaps they're not in the best place position to be an MP, which is a very demanding job?
Yeah, no, it's also, I think, in the next point he makes, he's talking about a BBC video, which I saw that was taken off. I think he's getting his wires crossed.
I think
because
he
he's
is,
talking
yeah.
about something that was banned by way of a video. The phone's ringing, and I hope it's not the guys from across the road now. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian, it's Jay.
Hello, Jay, how are
hey,
you?
Hey, Jay.
I'm okay. Hi,
Bex,
all right?
Yeah, good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. Andrew Turner with the abortion thing. Does it matter? really? What matters is, what is the ailment that Andrew Turner actually has in medical terms, Bex?
Aphasia.
Aphasia.
And it says inability.
Before you say this, can I just say that we haven't, not once, brought this out into question. We are questioning. We're not looking at the issues that he has. We are questioning the bill that he put through. This is political.
But there is also the question in my mind personally, and is, I mean, aphasia, I've just looked it up and it says an inability or an impaired ability to understand or produce speech as a result of brain damage.
Okay.
So it's a neural process that affects his not necessarily the lucidity of his cognitive abilities.
No.
Right. So, and I essentially am agreeing with you, Ian, because, okay, the man's speech might be impaired, but what actually matters, if you're going to scrutinise Andrew Turner for anything, is his voting record. So
yes.
People should be voting, scrutinising that. And if you look at his voting record and how it actually translates into the real world of real people's lives, it's horrendous.
Yes, I agree.
Absolutely horrendous. This is a guy who... here's the irony, and I'm speaking completely impartially. I have no political views whatsoever. I'm not against Tory or Labour or any of them. I'm against all of them. Well, I'm not actually there against me, because they're not actually working in line with the people anymore. But if you, here's the irony, okay, he has this disability and was then, looked after and cared for by the NHS, and yet in 2012, on the NHS bill, the Health and Care, Social Health and Care Act, he voted to go along with opening up the doors even wider for privatisation of the NHS. There was a call for a debate, for politicians to have a debate on the direct link between sanctioning people on benefits and the rise, exponential rise, in food banks.
Yep.
The man voted against having that debate.
I know. And he also
never mind political views, and that's inhumane. There's people starving in our own country, topping a million people now, and you don't want to have a debate on whether people being sanctioned, which is a kind of a war term, isn't it? We sanction countries to punish them. Anyway, sanctioning people on benefits, people that are already struggling, you don't want to have a debate to see if that's directly affecting the need for food banks.
I agree. I mean, there is a massive thing here of looking at the politics rather than the person, isn't there? But I would still argue that the person who represents those politics or policies has to be capable of delivering.
Absolutely, you know. It depends how we're framing that capability as well, Bex. Is that with empathy and with a notion of social caring, or are you just going to go along the lines of your party political whips? And in this instance, the Tories being the Tories, doing what's best for big business, not necessarily the people. That's what matters, isn't it? Because when you look around at the poverty, and he doesn't actually think there's any poverty on the island, which is just staggering. But
he should have done my job then for a while.
Exactly. You know, this is the real world, you know. And when he actually goes in and puts his little mark on his little ballot paper to vote in or out these bills that become acts of parliament and law, that has real consequences on the people. And now for me, that's the real horror. Shouldn't be, criticising Andrew Turner on his ability to conduct himself in a reasonable fashion. Never mind that. What's his voting record like?
Yeah.
That's what actually matters. In this case, you can do it with retrospect with Andrew, because he's been in Parliament for X amount of years.
Yeah.
With the other standing candidates, you can't necessarily do that. There's some foresight there. But Andrew can be scrutinised on what he's done in the past.
Yep.
And should be.
And do you know what? As a community psychiatric nurse, when we did risk assessments, the best predictor of future behaviour was historical behaviour.
Well, I mean, it's hard to work out with the big parties, though, Vic, because it's common knowledge that the whip will actually, force them to vote with the party line rather than the individual line. So, if you're going to use that as a barometer, what does it tell you? I mean, the only thing you could extrapolate from that is, is he a true Tory in that sense then? You know, completely self-centred and selfish. Don't know. I don't know the man personally. I've spoke to him two or three times, and he was very polite, very cordial and courteous, but I wasn't stimulated by the conversation.
No. And like most MPs, if you bring something to his attention, a particular case, he's pretty good at dealing with that. But it seems to me that when you personalise it and humanise it and say, Joe Bloggs down the road has been sanctioned, then he will do something. But when you say, there's 10,000 people on the island who are actually living in quite abject poverty, he's like, no, there isn't.
Yeah.
No, there really is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But how don't you know that? as an MP, as a person that's employed to represent the population, you're given a political mandate to represent the population. Why don't you know that there is poverty in your borough?
Because the spin on it isn't that they're poverty; it's that they're lazy.
But that's spin.
I know, but it's true, isn't it? You know, people are unemployed nowadays because they're all feckless and they're all like the people of Shameless. And
what are you talking about? There is no unemployment. The country's booming. We're on the up. Everybody's gone self-employed. Now, 5 hours a week is a full-time job.
Yeah. What do they call it? Flexible hours, a zero-hour contract now.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. It's a choice thing, you know. It's the diversity of society, which is, so spin, fudging figures and that. But, you know, I heard you saying earlier, Ian, or over previous days, actually, are we better off than in the previous 5 years? And it's not even up for question, mate, really. There's a million people eating from food banks. So, yeah, you may be doing okay in an individual sense, but on the wider aspect of society, which does come back and bite us all in the bum, if it degrades so much, then if we use that...
Kind of the point that I was making is that the highlighting the fact that we've still got that Maggie Thatch thing in us, that and a majority, because they're still voting in the same basic way, of pull the ladder up, Jack, I'm all right.
There is no society, I'll never forget
there is,
that.
You know, they're basically, oh, well, I'm all right, I'm better off. But,
I love
but
that
we
quote
don't
from
think...
Thatcher. She stood on the podium and said there is no such thing as society, apart from the people that put out the chairs, the ones that made your clothes, the ones that done the electrics to speak through the microphone, all of those people, you know, that society, Maggie, that allowed you to say your hypocritical words. It's just, but Ian, you're dead right. You're dead right, because Thatcherism, whatever it was, we'll call it that word, it's basically just selfishness and greed. That was what swept the country way back when, and it's still here. And that's why you have entities like UKIP and the Tories. I mean, the Tories, what the country's just been through in the past, and the Lib Dems associated with, what the country's just been through, is horrendous. They should be unelectable, and Labour should be romping it, should be a landslide. Why isn't it?
Well, I think because the trouble is Labour's policies almost seem to be Tory light, you know? They don't seem to be socialist.
Well, they are.
I mean, I am just an ordinary bloke off the street, okay? And I've said this numerous times. I used to vote Labour because I believed in socialist views. There is no party that represents working class people. But having said that, that's not the fault of the party, because they couldn't get those type of things were old hat, unfortunately, because there were too many people that were thinking that they were better than working class.
Correct.
And that's, it's the mindset. And we can have a pop at our politicians, but let's not forget who actually put them there and who gave
them
the power.
We did. You're absolutely right. And this is the uncomfortable bit for, predominantly Tory or more, let's go into it then, more right-wing areas, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you vote that way, that's the kind of politics you're going to get. Selfish, greedy, and individual.
Yeah, that's what we've got.
So in many ways...
I'm all right, Jack.
Yeah. But it becomes... as I said, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know? There isn't much room to complain, you know? This was what was sold to us. Do you remember back in the day with British Gas and all that, clicking the fingers and the little flame on the the plum come up and that, and everyone fell over themselves to buy stocks and shares and blah, blah, blah.
Ring Sid.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah. That was it. That was the privatisation and monetisation of the country. So, you know, this the country that people hanker after... And I think people are intrinsically more socialist than they understand. We all like the NHS. That's socialism, you know, helping each other out and all chipping into the pot. But they fell over themselves back in the day to become, mini profiteers. And now this is the end result of it.
Yeah, and there's too many people. I'll tell you what happened. There was a family member. I'm not going to mention them, but there was a family member some years ago. They moved from a place that wasn't very desired to live in years ago, and they moved to somewhere that wasn't. If I name where they've gone from A to B, they're going to know they are.
Yeah,
but
okay.
They've moved to, in their eyes, a posher place. Yeah. And they were still unemployed when they moved, but they considered themselves middle class because they were had moved from a different part of town to another part of town.
Yeah,
and they ain't the only ones. And that's the mindset that will keep those two parties in power.
Yeah.
Purely and simply because it's all down to what they think and how they see themselves. You know, what is, and this is what I said earlier on about defining what we are, who we are.
I
find myself, I'm a middle class person, very, very wealthy. I'm lying through my teeth. I can do it as well.
Yeah.
I'm working class. I'm proud of being working class. If there was a working class party to vote for, I would vote for them, but there isn't.
Yeah, well, there is only really two classes of people, isn't there? There's those that work and those that don't. It's that simple. You know, everything else is delusion and sold to you as an aspiration to climb a pyramid scheme ladder that you're never going to achieve anybody. Because not everybody can have the top end of wealth. It's impossible, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's an aspiration that you can never achieve. Not everybody, but everybody's told that you can achieve it.
And if you don't achieve it, it's your own fault.
Exactly. So, and there's the people at the top of that pyramid who don't work, you know, they're the ones that write off the checks and whatever, but could they actually go on the factory floor and manufacture the things? Could they carry the hod of bricks up the ladders? You know, it's all right owning the construction company. Can you lay the brick? You've probably never had to because you've been bequeathed XYZ amount of money and privilege in the first place. Okay, but I'm talking about the big companies here, you know, the ones that float on the stock exchange and stuff. So there's them that work and them that don't, and everything else in between is a delusion. You know, if I'm driving a Fiesta and you're driving a top-of-the-range BMW, what's the difference? Really, you know, I'm still getting from A to B.
It's a posher tin can.
Pardon?
It's a posher tin can.
Exactly. It's four bits of rubber.
Well, isn't it?
But people, you know, kid themselves, and worst of all, as we've been alluding to, divide themselves on that notion, I'm better than you. And all of a sudden, we're in a situation where, as you said earlier, with that Hopkins thing, where you can then, talk about people in inhumane terms, like cockroaches and things.
Yeah,
be very wary, because in a minute you start doing that to your own population with the people that are unemployed, disabled, and all the rest of it.
But don't you think that's happened
on.
Already?
Already?
Yeah, exactly.
I know it is, and it's horrendous, and it needs to stop.
And the sad thing is someone came up with this wonderful idea of Facebook and Twitter, so you can do it even better.
Do what? Sorry, what?
Be horrible. But you can also fight as well.
Right, I see.
You know, you can also fight them on Facebook and Twitter. It's a two-edged sword, isn't it? People can put this stuff up
and you can
shoot it back down.
Hey, look, we're going to have to take a quick break. But, hey, look, thanks for your call. We really appreciate it.
Cheers for that.
Cheers, Jake. See you later.
Good luck, guys.
See you later. Bye.
It's 8 minutes away from one. We're going to try and squeeze in a break, and then we're going to come back and just recap. How can you recap what we've just had, eh?
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
White Fibre, the island's fastest broadband. But don't just take our word for it. Here's John Willison from Cowes.
The best thing about White Fibre is their speed of response. And you're actually talking to a human being who you know is local. It's not transferred over to India or Scotland. It's a local person.
Get the island's fastest broadband free for 12 months. Call 240 240.
WhiteFibre.com. Westridge.com.
24-month contract required. Fastest speeds available in all cabled areas.
Westridge Golf Centre have the island's only pay-as-you-play golf course with no booking of tee times required. They currently have a challenging 9-hole par 31 golf course, currently under expansion to become an 18-hole par 64 course. Check them out now, www.westridgegolfcentre.co.uk. Westridge Golf Centre, Brading Road in Ryde.
The Hair Lounge is a unisex hairdresser's in both Newport and Ryde. With its experienced team of stylists, we pride ourselves in offering great-looking hair at affordable prices. Whether you are looking for expert colouring to precision cutting, at The Hair Lounge, we pride ourselves on being a forward-thinking salon, which uses the industry's leading brands and techniques to always make sure our clients look and feel their very best. Call them 01983 718584. The Hair Lounge are also at 9 Cross Street in Ryde, or call 01983 564447. The Hair Lounge, great hair at affordable prices.
Why not come and spend a day in Key Art's fantastic pottery studio down at Jubilee Stores? On Thursday 28th May from 10am till 2:30pm, you can join tutor Claire Robinson and learn how to work with clay to make your own fun creation. Your work will be glazed, fired and ready to collect 2 weeks after the workshop. Places are free for children aged 11 and 12 years old. Book now to avoid disappointment by calling 01983 822 490. For further details, visit Key Arts' website, www.keyarts.org.
Hi, my name is Josh. I'm 13 years old and I've just tried the 4Ps radio course at Vectis Radio. It runs over a 4-week period and it's for 11 to 19 year olds and up to 25 year olds with additional needs. You learn presentation, production, promotion and podcasting, hence the 4Ps. It also boosts your confidence and improves your communication skills. If you'd like to enrol on this free course, to find out more, either call 07741 464393 or email ian.mac@vectisradio.com.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Vectis Radio.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
So here we are, we're back. We've just got a couple of minutes and we just want to recap, and obviously we just want to put the point out there that this isn't an attack on Andrew Turner, far from it. And it is an attack on, you know, his health. Other people brought up the health issue. I say that, you know, if you can do the job, do the job. I don't care what colour you are. I don't care whether you speak slow or fast. I don't care whether you're homosexual or not. It doesn't bother me. I just want somebody to represent the Isle of Wight, do the best they can, and earn their money. But, you know, when asked for a bill that he would put through that was local, you do question the fact that when it came down to the abortions and so on and so forth, I would imagine there's a number of people that are looking at that one, scratching their head, thinking, why would you do that? There's so many other things that you could have done for the Isle of Wight. Why have you thought of that one up?
Absolutely.
And that's where we're coming from. Not having a go at his health at all. And, you know, I do wish Andrew well with his health. And I do wish him well with the election as well. Because I also believe that he's been hampered by people that have been, you know, in his own party. And I don't like it when team members pull apart and they cause lots of grief and so on and so forth. And I don't
kind of backfired on them though, didn't it?
It has, because he's. I mean, I'll give him credit. He stood firm. And but I just wanted to make that point. This isn't this, but at the same time, our job is to highlight the news, be truthful. I'm not trying to be
objectively critical as well. You know,
I'm not trying to. I'm not going to tell you to not vote Andrew Turner. I'm not going to tell you to vote for anybody. It's down to you. We just give you the facts and figures, and we put it out there, and then people out there make their own minds up, and that's what it comes down to. I think we've got 6 parliamentary candidates, and I think that you know that they're all probably capable of doing a job. Some, I think, will be probably better suited to it.
Yes.
And I'm also saying that, you know, £76,000 for the job, I think, come on, you've got to come on, and whoever you are, you've got to come on and earn your money. I want some return on that.
Yes.
And that's the way we've got to look at it.
Yes.
Okay, look, before we dig ourselves an even bigger hole, should we leave it there?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then. So, thanks, Bex, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Do the exercises, and we'll see how your pains, aches and pains. In private, obviously. Yeah. Or you could do what everybody else does. You could video it, and you could do that Barbara Windsor moment. Next thing you know, it's on Facebook, Twitter, it's all over the world, and you're a hit.
I might have done it 30 years ago, but not now, Ian.